the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Welcome to Faith in Action. Today's kind of an exciting day for us at Catholic Radio because once a year, we have the Right to Life essay winners, and we have a studio full of parents and kids and students and Mark Tuttle, Right to Life of Indianapolis. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be back here. Yeah, today's a fantastic day. We have the winners of our essay contest with us, and you say the studio is full of kids. We don't have all of our participants here. We had about 500 kids from across the city.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So luckily, they're not all here today, but we do have our winners.
But we do have our winners in it. I tell you, Mark, I have to tell you this. I had a little bit of a preview of the essays, and I was brought to tears. I was brought to tears. I didn't expect that at all.
Oh, contest season is one of my favorite times of year because it's so hopeful. I get to see the potential, and I get to see sort of the fruits of what we've been doing trying to build a pro-life culture in our city.
Now, you did something, I'm going to say it's different this year because I remember in the past kind of a general theme, but these kids all have something different. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, each essay has their own theme. So the essay contest is actually four contests. There's an 11th and 12th grade contest, a 9th and 10th grade contest, an 8th grade contest, and a 7th grade contest. All four of those are their own topic and they're their own theme.
Okay, so we ought to have a drum roll here. Da 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 da. There you go.
So our 11th and 12th grade winner is Paige Morrell. Our 9th and 10th grade winner is James Green. Our 8th grade winner is Jack Gorsuch, and our 7th grade winner is Liam O'Rourke. So we're going to hear essays from all of them today.
Okay, and I just want to give a little tidbit. If you're listening right now and you did not enter the contest, there's always next year. Now what, just as a little incentive, usually when does this start? And are there prizes?
Yes, we usually get our topics posted on our website at the end of January, kind of beginning of February. So right around the Roe versus Wade weekend, keep your eyes open for our contest. And yes, the top prize for winning these essay contests is not only a $250 prize to the winner,
woo-hoo,
but also a matching $250 grant to the sponsorship organization that sponsors these kids.
Oh, I like that. So if it's a school, would you say that the school gets $250? What if they're homeschooled?
Well, if they're homeschooled, they can donate it to an organization of their choice. But the idea is that, yes, each class will have a bunch of essays that are entered, and then the teacher judges and submits the best one to our citywide essay contest.
Oh, so it's kind of like a double deal.
It is, exactly. Okay. And that's how we're able to manage 500, 600, 700 plus essays every year.
I can't imagine how long it takes you, but I imagine it's a wonderful, wonderful weeding out process.
Yes, it's a great process. There's a whole team of volunteers that help with it, And it's just a great experience.
Okay, Mark Tuttle, our Right to Life guru from Indianapolis. Let's just start right in. Give the winners one more time for those who didn't catch it, and then we'll just start with the kids.
All right, our 7th grade winner is Liam O'Rourke. Our 8th grade winner is Jack Gorsuch. Our 9th and 10th grade winner is James Green. And our 11th and 12th grade winner is Paige Morrell.
Okay, let's just get started. And we have a room full of Right to Life essay winners. So let's go ahead and start with James Green. God bless you and thank you for coming into the studio today, James.
Thank you for having me too. It's been very, very nice writing this.
You know what? I'm excited to hear it because every year we get, there are different themes, different topics, and of course different kids. So you get kind of different takes on everything. So James Green, along with Paige Morrell, Jack Gorsuch, and Liam O'Rourke, all wrote essays for the Right to Life contest, and we have the winners every year come to the station and read their essays, which we will. James is in the 10th grade?
Yes, I'm going into 10th grade.
Okay, and where do you go to school?
I'm homeschooled.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your family. How many kids in your family? Yes. What parish do you belong to?
Let's see, we have four children. Let's see, I'm the oldest. I have a little bit younger. I have my sister Mary, 12. My brother John, who's 9, going on 10. And my brother Joey, he'll be just 6 this year.
So four kids?
Yes, just four.
Okay. Oh, God bless you, just four.
Yes.
Okay. So, and the theme this year for the Right to Life essay was?
Chastity.
Yours is on chastity. Okay. So one more question. What do you like to do after school? What kind of extracurricular activities do you enjoy?
I still really just like doing a lot of reading. And for exercise, I'd like to do some biking and running.
Biking and running?
Yes.
Running. Oh. Biking is okay. Have you gone on the Monon yet?
Yes. Yes, we
have. Yeah, see, that's, I kind of want to do that because I understand it was a railroad track and so it's kind of flat. So
yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. I want to do that. All right, well, let's jump right in. Get to your essay on chastity when you're ready.
Okay. Yes. Okay, this paper titled Chastity. Everyone has a God-given desire for happiness. We spend our life trying to acquire it. Society tries to fulfill this desire with sensual thoughts leading to sins of the flesh. To rise above society's desire to this society's answer to this desire for happiness, the virtue of chastity orders our desires and leads us into the love of God, of which Psalm 84 says, "For one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere." Chastity teaches us to use God's gift of our sexuality according to its natural boundaries in our state in life, whether it be single, married, or religious life. Chastity, which should be possessed by all, is a virtue opposed to the sins of impurity. Those in religious life guard the practice of chastity through a vow. Castigare, meaning to chastise, is the Latin root of the word chastity. It restrains or chastises our lust, acquired from concupiscence. Chastity should be thought of as a safety net or fence which guards us from the dangers of impurity. It trains us to live according to our God-given purpose. I have discussed this virtue and its meaning with my parents in my religion class and in our taught on morality. Through this, I now understand that true love is different from what our culture offers as love. Few in high school realize that love is a sacrificial choice for another, and they may be tempted to sins against chastity by a false understanding of love as just a feeling. If a friend told me of his impure actions, true charity would require me to admonish him of his fault. Correcting the person calmly and charitably, with concern for his salvation, is the necessary process of fraternal correction. I would advise him that he can find the true happiness he is seeking for union with God. As our purpose in life is union with God, the virtue of chastity removes us from the selfishness of impurity and directs us toward his perfect love. Finally, I would tell him that impurity is self-centered, opposed to the purpose of life, and contrary to God, our creator and designer. Chastity is one of the greatest and most needed virtues in our present world. Our duty is to change the present culture, which disavows chastity and praises impurity as a right or freedom. By countering sin with love and respect for the sinner, but by correcting his faults, we can change hearts in ways not unlike St. Augustine, who after much correction and prayer from his loving mother, left his life of sin and became one of our greatest saints. Our personal expression of chastity must be aided by a strong prayer life, because through prayer we will trust God with his vision for love and life and discover our true love and happiness through him.
Bravo. Bravo. James Green, going to be a sophomore, homeschooled. Wow, you brought me to tears. That doesn't happen very often, but you brought me to tears. God bless you. What a wonderful, wonderful essay. I want a copy of that. I absolutely loved it. You did a wonderful, wonderful job.
Thank you.
Okay, now you can take a deep breath. God bless you, and thank you so much for entering the contest and sharing that with us. May God's peace be with you.
All right, and we're talking to another winner in this year's Right to Life essay contest. Our winner in the 7th grade competition is Liam O'Rourke, and for many folks that are involved in different Catholic activities around town, you've probably run into Liam's parents, Michael and Maria O'Rourke, also big supporters of Catholic Radio, which we thank them very much for doing that. Liam, let's see, what grade were you in when you wrote the essay we're about to hear?
I was in 7th grade.
In 7th grade, okay. And what school?
I was homeschooled.
Homeschooled. I always like to ask homeschool kids if they like their teachers. Better say, yeah. Liam, when you're not in school studying, what sort of things do you like to do?
Well, I go to a farm on Tuesdays, and so we play football and stuff in our free time and just do a lot of homesteading kind of stuff for the work.
Okay.
And we have a pond in our backyard, so I like to fish and, you know, catch the different animals in there.
Sure.
You
got any big fish in that pond?
Yeah, some bass. And there's a big carp in there. I don't know, like 3 feet long.
Oh, have you caught that?
No.
Not yet, huh?
Just needs to scum off the bottom.
Okay, very good. Well, tell us a little bit about your essay. How long did it take you to write the essay?
Like 2 nights, 3 nights.
2 nights, okay. And did you have to do any research or talk to any people before you actually put it all down on paper?
Well, I talked to my dad and mom and some of my siblings and other people. So my dad and mom were like the ones who gave me almost all of the information I went off of.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, you are the number one in the seventh grade competition. So if you would, please go ahead and read your essay for us.
The essay is entitled, Now You Know. On the phone with his friend Will, Paul argued for abortion. Will exclaimed, abortion kills living babies, and it violates the Fifth Commandment. Paul retorted, the babies are just blobs of tissue and are not persons. Therefore, abortion doesn't violate any commandment. Will replied, really? Okay, then take a look at this. Paul's phone beeped. There in the message Will had sent him was a photo of an aborted baby. Astonished at what he saw, Paul stammered, I didn't know they looked so much like babies. Will said empathetically, I know it is hard to look at, but now you know. Like Will, we all must defend the disabled and helpless at all stages of life. St. Pope John Paul II made a similar point when he encouraged us to protect the dignity of man, because that is the true measure of civilization. If we teach society to love and cherish the disabled, they would be more willing to protect them. I believe the best way to reach my generation is through videos on the internet, intriguing images, and shared experiences. This is how my generation connects with others. To communicate effectively on the internet, videos must be short, engaging, and visually stunning. Without appealing music and a captivating story, the audience loses interest because of people's short attention span. For example, the video about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner with Down syndrome, reached over 2 million people. Entitled Tim's Place, the video recounts how Tim always had a dream of owning his own restaurant. His parents helped fulfill that dream by aiding him in opening a restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico. As customers enter, Tim greets and hugs them. His affection makes their day. This video made me more open to people with Down syndrome because it showed a glimpse of the joy they can bring. Videos like this persuade people to see that mentally and physically handicapped people are here for a reason and can change others' lives for the better. By loving the disabled, we can live out the second great commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In heaven, Jesus will ask each of us during our personal judgment, how well have you loved? The disabled help us to grow in our capacity to love, so we may better enjoy heaven. Another way of teaching society to recognize and protect the human dignity of the disabled and defenseless is through high-impact images. For instance, the Pro-Life Action League in Chicago, Illinois, organizes people to stand on the side of the road with large pictures of aborted babies to show everyone just what abortion looks like. Similarly, Bobby Schindler, the brother of Terry Schiavo, recently commissioned an artist to paint a portrait of his sister just before she died by forced starvation. He posted it on the website terriesfight.org to reveal her inhumane death. One more way to influence society is through sharing others' experiences. When women who have had an abortion tell their regretful stories, they move people's hearts. Back in the 1800s, William Wilberforce, a member of the English Parliament, used a similar approach by having former slaves relate their horrifying stories. But he didn't stop there. He hosted dinners on board a ship for wealthy people. During the meal, they navigated alongside foul-smelling slave ships. The diners, overcome by the stench, begged William to steer away. However, experiencing the appalling conditions of the slave ship decidedly changed many people's minds for the better about slavery. No matter the means, dinner parties, cell phones, videos, images, or stories, the truth will transform society. William Wilberforce summed it up well. You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know.
Wow, very nice, very nice. That is Liam O'Rourke, the seventh grade winner in the Right to Life essay contest. And Liam, you're going to be going into eighth grade. Any plans for the rest of the summer?
Well, I'm hoping that we can do a trip to Colorado.
All right.
That sounds fun.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you very much for coming in and sharing that essay with us. It's a great essay.
Thank you.
And right now we're talking to another winner, Jack Gorsuch. And Jack, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you go to school last year?
I went to St. Louis de Montfort Catholic School.
All right. Very good. And this coming year, where are you going?
I'm going to Guerin Catholic High School.
Okay. As a freshman there. And tell us just a little bit about your family, mom and dad, brothers and sisters, where you live, that sort of thing.
I have four brothers and two sisters.
You entered this year's contest because you were kind of invited to at Holy Rosary Parish. Is that where you heard about it?
Yes.
Okay. How did you hear about it there?
I had my confirmation class and
Through
that, they kind of like introduced it to us.
Good. Okay. Well, and you are the first place winner in the eighth grade. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Well, very good. Congratulations on that. Are you ready to read it for us?
Yes.
All right. Well, go ahead.
What do you do when you encounter someone who is seriously disabled? Do you interact with them or do you look beyond or through them? In a 2013 speech to the Dignitatis Humanae Institute, an institute that promotes human dignity on the basis of the fundamental truth that man is created in the image and likeness of God, Pope Francis said, "The victims of this culture are precisely the weakest and most fragile human beings, the unborn, the poorest, the sick and elderly, and the seriously handicapped, who are in danger of being thrown away." One of the victims of this throwaway culture was Martin Pistorius. In 1988, at the age of 12, Martin had contracted a strange illness where he lost full mobility in his body and the ability to speak, eventually falling into a coma where he laid in bed for 12 years. However, to no one's knowledge, he had come out of his coma after only 3 years. Trapped in his paralyzed body, Martin was fully aware of his surroundings for the remaining 9 years. In his recently published book, Ghost Boy, Martin describes those 9 invisible years with these words: fear, despair, frustration, loneliness. Fortunately for Martin, one caretaker paid attention to him, spoke to him, looked into his eyes, and realized that he was conscious and aware. To have another person value your existence is incredibly important. You feel like you matter, he later expressed. It is so easy to walk past those without a voice, sometimes not even acknowledging their presence. I know this because I too am guilty of this. How many times have I walked past my 25-year-old sister without saying a simple hello? I can recall numerous times I've simply ignored her presence in the room. You see, my sister is nonverbal. She's physically and mentally disabled, and I'm not sure that she understands my words. But what if she does? Hearing about the ghost boy, Martin Pistorius has brought a new awareness to me. I know how happy my sister is because she always has a smile on her face. My parents talk to her constantly, but do I have a relationship with her? We all desire to be in a relationship, regardless of our state in life. No one wants to feel ignored and thrown away. Whether it is a mentally or physically disabled person, a sick or elderly person, a poor or homeless person, even you and me. My new goal is to greet every person with a simple smile and a hello. My goal is to engage each person with dignity and respect without any expectations of a response. This is the beginning of building a relationship and transforming society in their view of those within this throwaway culture. The natural response that follows is to value and protect each individual from the moment of conception until natural death. The ultimate goal in our society is for no one to ever have to say, "Do you see me? I am here."
Wow. Well, very, very nice. That is certainly an award-winning essay. Did you have to do much in the way of research for that, or where did you come up with some of the concepts that you included in there?
Yes, I looked at Pope Francis's papal
encyclicals. And
yes,
things?
Okay. Yes. And I also researched Martin Pistorius in his life.
Okay, and how long did it take you to write that?
Probably a couple hours to actually write it, and then overall, it's a couple days.
Sure. Sure. Now, there's a couple of other winners in your family in this very same contest, I understand.
Yes, they are.
Which of your brothers and sisters were winners in the pro-life essay contest?
Two brothers, Sam and AJ Gorsuch, and my sister, Mary.
Oh, well, congratulations very much. We're talking to Jack Gorsuch. Jack is going to be a freshman at Guerin and was the eighth grade first place winner in this year's pro-life essay contest. Jack, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're talking to the winners in this year's Right to Life essay contest. And the winner who was a junior, will be a senior this year, is Paige Murrell. And Paige, where are you from?
I'm from Plainfield, Indiana.
Plainfield. All right. And what school?
I'm homeschooled.
Okay. How did you find out about the contest?
Well, I had actually come across the Right to Life booth at a homeschool conference here in Indianapolis, and I talked for a while with one of the representatives, and I picked up a bunch of their brochures, and I kind of been on, the essay contest has been on my back burner for a while, but this year I finally decided to do it, kind of a spur of the moment decision.
Okay. Anything special you're doing this summer?
Not really.
Okay. Just waiting for school to start, huh?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, go ahead, if you would, and read us your essay.
In 1916, the culture of death gained one of its greatest supporters, Planned Parenthood. Over the past 100 years, Planned Parenthood has wreaked havoc in America. It has destroyed lives across the country and around the globe. It has condoned the slaughter of innocent infants and mocked the God who created them. It has rejected human dignity and encouraged thousands to do the same. A brief overview of its origins, its stance, and its effects reveals why. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood's founder, desired to create the ideal human race. She believed that the greatest dangers to civilization were supposedly unfit humans, the mentally ill, physically disabled, poverty-stricken, and feeble-minded. These people burdened and endangered humanity. In effect, they were waste. Thus, Sanger advocated government-enforced birth control to cleanse the human race of the future unfit. Since its creation, Planned Parenthood has embodied these poisonous ideas. During 2014 alone, the organization performed almost 330,000 abortions. While claiming to champion women's rights and free choice, the organization opposes legislation that protects vulnerable women and convinces them they have no choice but to abort. Its international federation furthers population control in other nations. Its aggressive advancement of such goals defies God's command in Genesis 1:28 to fill the earth and subdue it. Besides abortion, Planned Parenthood vigorously defends numerous activities and beliefs that have led to the moral collapse of American society. For example, it disregards human life. Children designed by God in His image become nothing more than disposable wads of tissue. This idea destroys not only human life, but love itself. Additionally, Planned Parenthood targets supposedly inferior races and individuals. Young, frightened, and poor women are perfect customers. Finally, this organization gives men and women an excuse for sin. Because it can seemingly eradicate the consequences of sexual impurity, Planned Parenthood contributes to the rampant immorality evident in America today. Yet, consequences do exist. Planned Parenthood physically and emotionally traumatizes the most sensitive people in society. Women who abort face many health complications, including infection, cancer, and even death. Sadly, abortion endangers future lives as well. Negative effects of abortion on future pregnancies include preterm delivery, low birth weight, and miscarriage. However, the adverse impacts of abortion do not stop with the external. Women who undergo abortions massively increase their chances of substance abuse and mental illness. After an abortion, women may experience post-traumatic stress disorder. Weighed down by feelings of guilt, nervousness, and regret, many women turn to suicide. Even men suffer. Abortion fractures the traditional role of men as providers and protectors. Planned Parenthood has never empowered anyone. Instead, it has left women broken and violated, and men confused and resentful. However, there is hope. Courageous and compassionate pro-life movements pose a challenge to Planned Parenthood's influence. Pregnancy crisis centers, such as Life Centers, continually fight the culture of death, one woman and one child at a time. Unlike Planned Parenthood, these centers affirm the value of human life and provide safe counsel for women in need. Instead of merely selling the pro-life message, they present women with actual choices and viable options. The men and women involved in these organizations exhibit a genuine love that American culture desperately lacks. Planned Parenthood has a strong grip on America, but the grip of love proves stronger. Despite its greatest attempts, the culture of death cannot fight the army of life. Even when faced with pure darkness, the soldiers of light must never falter. As John 1:5 proclaims, "The light shines brightest in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it."
Wow. Wow, very, very nice.
Thank you.
That is the number one, the top essay in the junior division, and that was Paige Murrell from Brownsburg. And you mentioned you're going to be a senior this coming year. Mm-hmm. Do you have plans for after you graduate?
I do. I plan right now to attend Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky.
All right. Very good. Well, I wish you best of luck as a senior, and thank you very much for sharing your essay with us.
Thank you.
Been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marion University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.